Hello, and thank you so much for joining us today, right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And you can always find us at naturalnurse.com. So I'd like to tell you some of the classes and workshops that we have available right now, because we always have classes and workshops going on. And if you go to naturalnurse.com, you can get a newsletter about it. Just go to the very bottom of the page and fill in only your email, nothing else. And then you'll get an email that you have to say, okay, and then you're in for the mailing list. We don't send out a lot of emails. I would say once a month and possibly less. But when we do send out an email, we send the classes and workshops that are coming. But another great way to do it is to just go to naturalnurse.com, classes and events, and check for yourself. Like some that are coming up very soon. One is our online Natural Nurse Herbal Certification course. And that is one of my favorite classes to teach. It grants 18 CEU credits for licensed people such as nurses, midwives, massage therapists, acupuncturists, nutritionists, RDs, and others. But you don't have to be a healthcare provider or professional to take it. It's just that if you need it, then you will get 18 additional CEUs. So all of that is you know, something you may want to check out or tell others who might need that kind of thing to check out. But in addition, what we learn there is it is four classes once a month, March, April, May, June. And the reason I have it in the spring is that the class involves a lot of interaction with each other, but also with plants, because I find a lot of people know about herbs and have used herbs, but only as a product or a supplement in a bottle. And even healthcare providers who recommend herbs usually only do that way, like in a bottle, sort of like instead of a pharmaceutical. And that's really not it. So we go very deeply into the conversation about herbs, like how do you speak to other herbalists? What is an extract? What is a tincture? What is a salve? What is a balm? You know, all the verbiage that goes along with herbalism. We go deeply into that. How to read a product label if you are going to buy an herbal product from a shelf or online. How do you know the milligram amount in the dose? And then we go into lots of information about the pharmacology of herbs. It's a pretty deep dive, and it goes over 4 months. There's also homework assignments. So everyone takes one class, and then I send everyone a homework assignment. And then there's a lot of one-on-one with me for each assignment, because you actually send the assignment to me, and I make comments and send it back to you. And I don't just go, okay, she sent it in or he sent it in. I really take a deep dive into it. So we do the basics of herbal medicine, botany and botanical nomenclature. There's a whole class on using herbs for yourself and your family and how to create a natural protocol for anything that's going on with you, where to find the best information, because the web is a double-edged sword. In the older days, because I started my journey as an herbalist in 1964, and at that time, there were really lots of books, but most people only knew about a few books. But online now, there's nothing vetted. People can say whatever they want. That's one of the jobs I do in regulatory, is I help herbal companies and supplement companies to look at their verbiage, their labels, what they're putting out online in terms of regulatory control, because the FDA is very aggressive against natural product companies. In fact, one thing that's very worrisome to me is they're planning to take homeopathics off the market. And that upsets me greatly, because homeopathics are fabulous. They're very inexpensive. They're very effective. And I use them for myself and my clients daily, along with herbs. So if you're someone who uses homeopathics, I suggest you immediately stock up on them, because the FDA, in its great non-wisdom, plans to make it impossible to get them anymore. Very sad topic for another day. But in our class, Using Herbs for Yourself and Your Family, we do look at what's available on the web that's a good place to go to look for a protocol, how to use herbs for a specific health issue for yourself and your family. And then we have a class called Feeling the Consciousness of Plants, where we look into the interaction really on a level of communication between plants and humans. And while that has been widely recognized, let's say in shamanic circles and in spiritual healing, there is so much scientific evidence about plants being able to communicate both with each other and others. So this is a wonderful four-class series that gives you a big start. You can use it if you're a health professional to get 18 CEUs. If you're not a health professional, you can take the class for your own knowledge and learning, even just because you feel like learning or because you want to use information to take care of yourself and your family. So I invite you to look into that class. And then each of those classes, if any of those topics sounds interesting to you, but the others don't, that's okay too, because you can just take just one class. And if you take just one class, it's three CE units or no CE units if you don't need it. We also have coming up our Echo Tours for Cures, the education vacation in the island of Jamaica. And that's a very exciting class, a tour that we take people actually to the island of Jamaica to live in a very, I would say, some kind of way that existed many, many years ago and kind of doesn't exist too much right now, going back into a woodland type existence and meeting many, many shamanic healers. So while you're on the website at naturalnurse.com, you can certainly join our Facebook and Instagram. We recently posted an Instagram about Chinese herbs that we did from our Chinatown walk, where we take people to Chinatown to walk. We'll have another date for that in the spring. And we got 18,000 people who looked on it on Instagram, so I imagine there's an interest in that as well. So you can just go to naturalnurse.com. Join our newsletter, look at our services. We have consultations and career paths in natural health and lots of education. For education, the best thing to look at is called Natural Nurse Academy. And there we have so many, many classes in all kinds of specific things like iron, the strength mineral. Find out all about iron, the plants that you can use to get iron, what it does in your body. We have one called Cooling the Fire Dragon. That's about botanicals for a healthy inflammatory response. In other words, pain management. We have one on biofilm, a sticky situation about the microbiome and how to establish a healthy microbiome. And we have a class on using dowsing to determine which herb when. We also have herbal manufacturing, legal considerations, know before you go. That's where I would say no one should start selling herbal products before you look into the vast amount of legal ramifications, which is really something to learn about beforehand, before the FDA is calling you up and sending you letters and, you know, can make your life extremely miserable. We also have classes on Hildegard of Bingen. Hildegard, such an amazing figure. She's a mystic, a psychic, a visionary, an herbalist, weaving the tapestry of healing from the cosmic elements. And she lived in century 10-something. So we're talking about an ancient healer who's a major force to this day in the herbal community, and probably also in your life, because she's the person who invented beer, as a matter of fact. So with that, we're going to bring on our guest today. We're so happy to have with us today, Dr. Jessica Bell. And Dr. Bell is an osteopathic physician who recognized her path to become a doctor early in life. And we'll talk to her about that. And she has a career in osteopathic medicine and specializes in both neuromusculoskeletal medicine and physical medicine and rehabilitation, and also works in the realm of energy medicine. So she does what's called New Earth medicine, self-healing, and energetic osteopathy. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Bell.
Thank you, Ellen. What a gift to be here with you.
And I enjoyed, we did a shorter show last week, so we don't have to worry because this is a completely different audience. And now we have a longer time to really, you know, deeply share all your fabulous stories and information. So let's go back in time to little Jessica. And what made you move towards becoming, first of all, a physician, and second of all, why an osteopath?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I don't remember making a decision to become a physician. I just remember starting to talk about being a doctor when I was about four. And that particular year of my life on record is probably the most notable, because two really big life traumas happened, all packed into a few months of one another. The first being that my father, who was then 36 years old, died very suddenly of cardiac arrest. And then right after that, I was in a sledding accident and I was pinned under a car for a long period of time, actually. And thankfully, the car was pinned my lower body, so my legs and my pelvis, and not my organ system. So I was able to come away from that injury without, you know, life sustaining. Obviously, I'm here telling you the story. So, you know, I was very fortunate. But that year was really pivotal because I just began on this path toward healing, you know, emotionally, the traumatic wounding of my dad dying so tragically, so suddenly, and then the wreckage of my family after that set in place some deep emotional wounding that actually I'm still unpacking to this day. And then physically, it was, you know, a parallel level of trauma to my musculoskeletal system. And so it took me a long time to start to access the emotional wounding, but on a physical body level, I started to dive into this deep fascination and curiosity with the human body from even that age, because it just was such a long road for me to get better. And then I started to develop more chronic, longstanding injuries while also being very competitive as an athlete. And early on, it was soccer and then it was lacrosse. I was always playing some kind of a sport, and I had this physical body that was still having some long-term complications from that early injury. And so I learned very early on in my life that the medical community was only going to take my healing so far, and that I had to, if I wanted to play soccer, if I wanted to play lacrosse, and if I wanted to do what I knew I was here to do, which is at that time, to really just be an athlete and excel in that, as well as focus on my academic life, because I knew still, without, you know, wavering in my decision that I was going to be a doctor. So those two things really drove me to kind of stay on track with school from an academic perspective, but then from a physical body perspective, I had some work that I had to do on my own. And I collapsed on the soccer field at the age of 13, went to a host of doctors and received lots of medical tests. And the only thing that the doctors came back with after everything came, you know, returned inconclusive was, well, you know, you're going to be fine, but you'll never be able to play soccer again. And that was just devastating to me at that time. I was about to step into my freshman year of high school as a starting freshman, and I was not able to play. So, you know, this is really the path toward empowerment, self-empowerment that I began at that age, because I knew that that was initially, of course, I really felt the weight of the situation and got very depressed. I even started doing cross country in high school because I felt like I needed to do something with my body. and running and I are just, you know, we get along, we're acquaintances, but we don't love each other. So being a cross country athlete, it was really something that was a strain on my body, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And so what I ended up doing is, I joined a gym at that point. I was 14 then, and I started to rehab myself. I learned all about the muscles, the bones, the tendons, the ligaments. You know, this was before things were really, as well known as they are now, as far as, you know, we are made of energy. This is the work I now do, and that we have to move. We can't just essentially do what the medical community at that time was telling me to do, which was, you know, just don't move your body in those ways and it will be fine. So as far as this path to become a doctor, it really was just always with me. And then, you know, coupled with this deep fascination of the body and its self-healing, self-regenerative capacities, that is something that I just evolved into knowing because I was being it. So I watched my body get better as I started to lift weights, get strong, move it in the ways, like move it through the discomfort. And lo and behold, the discomfort started to dissolve. And while I never went back to playing soccer again, I'm pretty sure I could have. But instead I got so strong and able-bodied, and coordinated that I ended up becoming, a really competitive lacrosse player, and lacrosse became this new passion of mine. And I played it all the way up through my senior year of high school, college rather. And so when I got out of college, I decided that it was important to take a couple of years off just to get into the world. And I went into, I became a medical assistant at Beth Israel Deaconess in Boston, which is where I'm from. And I started talking to doctors at that point. And I was so passionate about medicine and so passionate about becoming a doctor. And I started to talk to the doctors at Beth Israel and ask them questions, very specific questions. Do you enjoy being a doctor? You know, would you do it all over again? And the MDs, which were the only doctors that I was talking to at that point, they all said no. I mean, they all just kind of said, no, this is not something that I want to do. And I just want to
interject one thing there. I think that's true. And so many people I know who have entered medicine, both nurses and doctors alike, why they wanted to get into it was to help people.
Exactly.
But they felt so frustrated in terms of having just like a 5-minute or 7-minute visit, and all they could do is write a prescription. And when the person came back, that prescription is not really healing them. So the provider's life did not feel fulfilling.
Correct. Yeah. And it was devastating to hear that because it was true and I could feel it. I was watching them. And that's why I think I was, you know, so prompted to ask the question, because here I was in this very prestigious, you know, Longwood, Boston medical area where, you know, people come all from all around the world to receive their medical care. And I was watching the doctors very carefully, and they looked and felt very deeply unhappy in their lives. And so I was starting to come into a deep state of questioning for the first time ever. I mean, I never questioned my ambitions. I never questioned my path, but now I was starting to question it. In fact, I quit that job because I felt so awful in that medical institution. It just, something felt really off to me about that lifestyle. And so I backpedaled and started to search, and I went into a deep state of soul searching. Well, I've never not thought that I would be a doctor. This thought never crossed my mind. So then what am I supposed to do? And it was a really intense time. Actually, I spiraled in my life. I just got into partying and living this really alternative lifestyle. And I got a little wild, to be honest, because I felt lost. And I was going down, I got really depressed, and I started going to therapy. And thank God for this one psychiatrist who said, you know, I really hear your story, and I know that you're questioning all of this right now. And thank God for that. You know, she was such an angel, and I can't remember her name. I've always wanted to go back and thank her because she changed my life that day. And she said, you know, question everything, but also don't feel that these red flags that you're experiencing right now are saying don't do it. They're just saying, you know, explore your options. And she said, if medicine, if this path is really within you, if it's truly what you're here to do, it'll continue to bubble up as a knowing. And she said that was actually my experience, because she herself went to medical school at the age of 42 after, you know, trying to quench that thirst to become a doctor in another field of biochemistry. So right after that, I mean, it was so revolutionary to me because I was like, oh my, you know, this is great. Okay. All right. I have these red flags now. What am I going to do? And very soon after that, I was sitting having dinner with some friends. And a couple of people at the table had rental property up here where I live now in Maine, in Biddeford. And they started talking about this osteopathic medical school. And I'd never heard of osteopathy before. So that was the night that changed everything, because as I started learning about this field, this other way to become a doctor, a licensed medical professional, I was first of all shocked and appalled that, you know, I'd never heard this thing before. I lived in a very prestigious, very elitist medical part of our, you know, the Northeast Boston medical area. Really is very allopathic, very MD, or at least at that point it was. And up here in Maine, you know, it's different. And we have one medical school and it's an osteopathic medical school. And I started to hear things and learn things about osteopathy being about hands-on healing. That was one part of the learning experience, that the body is self-healing, the body is self-regenerating. And all of a sudden it was like this light turned on in me. And I knew that I was to be an osteopath because this was my life. You know, this was what I had always known the body to be able to do. And here was the training that matched, you know, what in my heart was the truth. So I didn't look back from that moment on. I went on to apply to three different osteopathic medical schools. And I chose one in the Bay Area of California called Touro University. And just for your listeners, what is an osteopathic doctor and how does it differ from an MD? The credentials differ. So I'm a DO, doctor of osteopathy, as opposed to an MD, medical doctor. The licensure is exactly the same. The privilege is exactly the same. You know, osteopathic doctors go to medical school and internship and residency and prescribe medications and do surgeries and become ER physicians and pediatricians and obstetricians. We do exactly the same thing, but there's a difference in our training, which is that the osteopath also learns how to put their hands on their patients and feel the body, connect to the health inside the body, and treat the health as opposed to the disease, turn on healing in the body, which is really designed to do, and recognize that the symptom, which so many doctors are chasing, is just the smoke. It's not the fire. It's not the source. It's the outer projection of a problem that lies deep within the body. So this is all to say that our bodies are designed to heal, and the osteopath is trained through lots of different techniques that we learn in medical school to rebalance the tissues and the nervous system and the bones and the ligaments and the joints and the blood, and to turn back on what the body does so naturally on its own, which is healing.
So that resonated a lot more closely with your, you know, your beingness and your intent. And, you know, you were so happy to find that path, and yet you could still also be a doctor. We're going to take a little break right here. And we are listening right now to Dr. Jess Bell, who is a licensed osteopathic physician, and you can find out more about her at Centers for Energetic Healing. That's all.com, like Centers for Energetic Healing.com. That's one place you can find her, or Dr., spelling Dr., JessBell.com. And our listeners know that we will have your bio with live links if anyone is listening once this is archived, which is after our live show. So just stand by, Dr. Jess, because we're going to take a little break and have a review of the Natural Medicine Chest. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
This edition of The Natural Medicine Chest will explore the medicinal properties of the plants of the ephedra genera, focusing on the traditional Chinese ephedra, also known as Ma Huang.
Many species of the plant ephedra are used today in medicine throughout the world. The most medicinal of these are Ephedra sinica, or Chinese Ma Huang, and Ephedra nevadensis, also known as Mormon tea. Most of the research on ephedra has been performed on Ma Huang, whose stems and branches have been used as a traditional Chinese medicine for over 5,000 years in the treatment of asthma, hay fever, bronchitis, as well as the common cold.
Ephedra species are erect evergreen shrubs which grow in segmented bamboo-like joints reminiscent of straw ending in thin wisps. They typically are desert plants preferring arid conditions on dry, rocky, and sandy slopes. The Chinese ephedra, Ma Huang, has earned an impressive reputation as a source of the alkaloid chemical called ephedrine. In the West, scientists became interested in the medicinal usage of Ma Huang after they isolated ephedrine and pseudoephedrine in 1923. Today, synthetic derivatives have become widely used in prescription and over-the-counter medications. In 1993, over 40 million prescriptions in the U.S. contained these alkaloids.
Ephedra and its relatives are considered to act pharmacologically as sympathomimetic compounds. This means that they stimulate the sympathetic part of our central nervous system, responsible for the release of adrenaline, which leads to the fight or flight response. Ephedra also affects the cardiovascular system by increasing the blood pressure and causes a relaxation and dilation of the bronchial smooth muscles in asthmatics. Ephedra can shrink the swelling of the delicate mucous membranes which line the respiratory system, thus drying up watery discharges, unstuffing clogged nasal and sinus passages, which accompany colds, sinus conditions, and allergies.
In both animal and human studies, Ma Huang has been shown to accelerate weight loss. It has been shown not only to suppress appetite, but to increase the metabolic activity of the adipose or fat tissue. Therefore, ephedra's weight-reducing effects are most significant in individuals who have a low metabolic rate or a sluggish thyroid gland.
Ma Huang is a powerful herb which, when abused, can cause some unwanted side effects. Ephedra should not be taken by those with high blood pressure, nervousness or anxiety, insomnia, cardiac conditions, or pregnancy. Studies indicate that when used in conjunction with other Chinese herbs in a traditional formula, Ma Huang does not have any of these effects and has remarkable beneficial effects on human health.
We recommend consulting a healthcare practitioner knowledgeable in the use of botanical medicine before using Ma Huang, so you can be further educated about its totality of effects. And before using herbal preparations with Ma Huang, check to see if you are sensitive to its effects by starting with the minimal dose and working up to a therapeutic dose. Logically, since ephedra is a stimulant itself, it should be used prudently with other stimulants, beverages, or drugs with stimulant effects. Again, consult with your natural healthcare practitioner.
So, listeners, remember Ma Huang, the traditional Chinese ephedra, and make sure to include it in your natural medicine chest.
And welcome back. Once again, right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, Dr. Eugene Zamperone and I, we were just reviewing how long we have been partners. And I'll tell you, when we became partners, my children were little tiny tots who are now 47 and 44. And his children were not even thought about because he wasn't even married. So it's been a minute. Anyway, and we're, you know, just thrilled that we have gone through this life process of being business partners in natural health for so many years. It's really a blessing. And today we are so happy to have as our guest, Dr. Jessica Bell, who just did a beautiful description of what it is to be an osteopathic physician and her path that led her to become one. So thank you for joining us today, Dr. Bell.
Oh, it's been such an honor to connect with you, Ellen, and thank you for all that you do. Really, I feel the world needs more people who are offering all of these natural medicine healing solutions. People are hungry for it, for sure.
Yeah, it's the way to go. It's just the way to go. It's like, yeah. I'm beyond the, well, maybe sometimes it has to be now because we have the research. We have certified physicians, you know, licensed doctors like yourself. And you've gone way beyond because you've moved into something called energetic osteopathy. And I'm very involved in the United States Psychotronic Association, where we measure the effects of energy medicine. which are also powerful. So tell us how you moved into energetic osteopathy and what does that mean?
Yeah. Thank you for the question. Oh, it's been a dream come true. And also an unknown one. I didn't know this is where I was going, to be honest. And for anyone out there who, you know, is just getting into the energetics of all of this, it's a journey, you know. We're certainly not trained in school to connect to the energetic system of the body. You know, the truth that I live by now and what I feel and know to be absolutely entirely true is that we are these incredible bioelectric fields, you know, consisting entirely of electromagnetic energies. That's what makes us up. And so I started on the opposite end of the spectrum of knowing this. I was in medical school. I initially thought I would be an orthopedic surgeon, and then I went into a surgical rotation and realized that wasn't for me at all. To be inside of a surgical suite, you know, was really not aligned. And thank God I learned this early on. Then I went into a field called physical medicine and rehabilitation. I became a physiatrist, and that's also known as a pain management specialist. And so I got to see firsthand the role that opiates played in creating suffering, as opposed to what we would really want with, you know, pain management. I saw how medicine really inhibited healing, and that was my early explorations and in clinical medicine. So that caused me to pivot very quickly. Actually, within 3 months of my first job in, as you know, outside of residency, I realized I'm not going to do that anymore. I just feel really internally conflicted. And so I stopped prescribing at that point. This was back in 2009. And so I went back into training and I became board certified as an osteopath in a field called neuromusculoskeletal medicine, and opened up my own private osteopathic clinic where I put my hands on patients all day, every day.
So I just want to say that was a very good move, because in private practice, you could really begin to express yourself.
Exactly.
Rather than when you're part of a group, they have these things, as you well known as a doctor, called standard of practice, which forces doctors to, you know, just pull up that little, what is the standard of practice, not for this patient, but for this disease or illness or problem, which is not how natural medicine is done.
Oh gosh. It's, you know, it's just painful to really, you know, see the truth as I see it now. You know, this isn't healthcare. This is, you know, healthcare is the last thing that we're offering our patients in the current traditional model of chronic care. Now, I think, you know, you and I, when we talked last week, it's so important just to offer this, that I am so grateful for modern medicine and traditional medicine when it comes to emergency situations.
Conventional medicine, because we would say traditional medicine would be herbal medicine and energy medicine.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Thank you for that. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Western conventional medicine offers us incredible solutions to save lives and to support people. And it's a tool for sure that offers incredible therapeutic value that is necessary. So what I learned, however, and so as an osteopathic physician, what I was seeing were people with really chronic degenerative conditions, and they were getting worse, not better, in the pain management clinic that I started working in. So as an osteopathic physician, you're absolutely right. I was able to really individualize the care that I was providing. And I learned a form of osteopathy called biodynamics very soon into my journey and my pivot to become really a hands-on osteopath that was very specialized in that particular art form. A lot of DOs will go through medical school and training and not do osteopathic medicine in their practice. They will not put their hands on patients and treat them. And that's basically where I was there too. You know, when I first got into practice, I wasn't doing any of that work. And then in these middle years before I got into what I'm doing now, that's all I was doing. So I learned biodynamics from a man named Jim Jealous, who has he's transitioned since in 2021, actually. He made his transition, and up until that point, he was my mentor, and just still, you know, although he's not in his body anymore, I still connect with him. I still feel this incredible gift that he has to offer all of us, which is that he helped me synchronize with the health and the patient in a way that I wasn't actually taught in osteopathic medical school. So he, that was really my transition from traditional osteopathic treatment to this unbelievable, almost esoteric, spiritual side of osteopathy that are, it's kind of getting swept away in our medical schools right now, in osteopathic medical schools. So I began to dive in and synchronize with the inner realms of the bodies. And I got really, really connected to this world of healing. And I became so fascinated by it, but that's all I started to do. And so as the years passed, I started to feel more, I started to connect more, I started to spend more time working within people's bodies. And then ultimately I started to feel my own. And that's really for me where the shift happened. So in 2020, I was treating people up until the pandemic began. I had then transitioned into a home practice, and I found that not infrequently, I would just kind of look down. My hands weren't touching. Then my touch got so gentle because the experience became very big. I started to feel more. I started to see more when I would put my hands on people's bodies. I started to see really like specific intricacies of their anatomy and places where things were stuck in a more energetic way. But I was seeing it it was almost like the body, the inside part of the body was showing me an image of what it looks like. It's not like when you open an anatomy book and you see a picture of a liver. I could actually feel the liver, and then it created this internal view of what liver looks like inside of my body while connecting inside of somebody else's body. So this started happening, and it's hard to even describe this.
But you know what? That's actually a common thing that has been explained to me by traditional healers all around the world in very remote areas that I have visited and worked with and written books about. That same feeling, for instance, where they can even reach into a body, which they do with psychic healing in the islands, and they can see an obstruction and physically grab it. And they have this moment. It's probably similar to when you bend spoons. There's a moment of knowingness. And then with your in-depth training and actually understanding on a physiological level, that must make it even more clear and intense.
There you go. You got it. You absolutely got it. That's exactly what happened. And that's like what you just described is energetic osteopathy, because, you know, I spent 20 years studying anatomy and physiology inside and out through, you know, a year of gross anatomy, you know, dissecting a cadaver, and then, you know, 10 more years putting my hands on people in a physical practice. When 2020 came, I had a choice to make, which was, do I open up my home during this very early time in the pandemic when we really didn't know what to do? I mean, I think the world just went into obviously a lockdown. But it was at that time that it was the perfect opportunity for me to leap into energies. So I had a coach, I had an incredible intuitive coach, and she said to me, Jess, you're an energy healer. Do what you do. You don't have to touch people. Do it over Zoom. And I never thought about that. I never thought I could do that. I was a hands-on osteopath. And the definition by the American Osteopathic Association of osteopathy, it's a hands-on modality. So I was really programmed to think about osteopathy as hands-on. Now, when you go back into the literature of the original osteopaths, a lot of them did this work from a distance, but they don't talk about that. And so then I called up my mentor, who was still with us at that time, Jim Jealous, and I said, Jim, this was like right after I heard, you're an energy healer, do your treatments over Zoom. I did. I started doing it, and I didn't know what I was doing, but when I went into the very first treatment, I didn't know what I was going to be doing. But the second that I just let my brain rest on a holographic image of the patient before me on a treatment table, and this was really where things got just fascinating, my hands started to feel the same feeling as if I was actually touching them, but now all of a sudden they weren't in my presence, but we were synchronized together. So I've started first by visualizing a patient on the table in front of me, and then very soon my own body became, I started to use my own hands, hovering about 6 to 8 inches outside of my own body as a holographic representation of the person that I was working with. So I started to treat people and then ask them lots of questions, like, did you feel where I was? And to the T, I mean, it was so specific. I had people that I was treating with rotator cuff impingement. I had people I was treating with hip pain, knee pain, foot pain, jaw pain, headaches. And I was seeing inside of their bodies by using my body in a way that was not dangerous. I wasn't merging with their field. I was just overlapping enough so that I had access to their energetic system, but it was so specific and tangible. It was almost like, as a hands-on osteopath, I was always looking through some fine gauze. And by doing this work now from a slightly removed distance, and of course we know in quantum healing there is no distance, right? But my physicality was no longer obscuring the view of their physicality. I could see as if the gauze had been removed, and now it was this clarity that I had never seen before. Powerful. So when I called my mentor, Jim, at that point, and I told him what was going on, he said, Jess, this is the future of medicine. This is exactly right. And you have to teach this. And then he died. So that was like this huge opening for me, because I realized, oh, this is actually osteopathy. I am an osteopathic physician trained to see anatomy and physiology. And by being in the presence of that person physically, that's one way to do this, but it's not the only way. So now there's this huge doorway that I was basically being asked to step through, which is bring the energy medicine modality into osteopathy, bring it together, because it never really should have been separated in the first place, right? And so here we are.
So that's a great explanation. And, you know, so many healers in various avenues, really, that's one, I think, positive from that pandemic, is that it opened up delivery of services in natural health. And even with something that's often hands-on, but in your case works beautifully, you know, through a computer screen, because we're all in this like alternate reality at this point too. Yeah. But it really advances what you're doing so much, because it makes it available to anyone, anywhere.
Correct. And the other thing that I learned to do very early on was treat myself. So this was like the next step. So first I started to treat other people and built a practice. I built a new way of working. And very early on, it was through telehealth, you know, and that's like such a gift that we have now that, you know, I no longer work with insurance anymore, because I've kind of gone off into the realms of teaching others how to do this. I do see people kind of, you know, I call myself more of an energy healer when I'm working with people, because the medical system has not yet upgraded to the point where they identify, you know, energetic osteopathy as a legal thing. I'm working with a team of lawyers to make it so. You know, this is an innovation that we're beginning to help other doctors, other osteopaths, and not just osteopaths, but other doctors to begin to connect with their patients. Because what we're really energetically, because we're talking about returning. The energy that we're really working with is the energy of love and the energy of connection and the energy of synchronization. And, you know, as a medical society, we've become so disjointed and so microscopic and so polarized in how we work with, you know, the heart is no longer considered to be part of the whole of the body, right? We have a cardiologist for that. And we have a specialist for each organ system of the body, and no one's talking to one another. And that's just so damaging. It's not the way medicine is designed to be. We really truly are designed to have a cohesive way to connect our patients back into that which they're made of, which is the energy of love.
That is so true. So, well, we're going to take another little break right here. And just allow our wonderful station, which is Progressive Radio Network. The call letters are PRN.LIVE, live, like live or live. So that's PRN.LIVE, where you can also listen to our shows as well as on many other platforms. And we're here today with our guest, Dr. Jessica Bell, who's doing a beautiful job teaching us about New Earth medicine, self-healing, and energetic osteopathy. And we will come right back and talk to her more after we break for our station ID. We'll be right back with more right here and also at naturalnurse.com. And welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us once again for The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. I'm Ellen Kamai, PhD RN, and also a registered herbalist and a board certified holistic nurse. So we bring you this show every week and have for many years. You can always find us at naturalnurse.com. That's the best place to go if you want to go to our Instagram, our Facebook, find out what classes and workshops. And we have hundreds of shows, links to our shows here on Progressive Radio Network and other shows that we do. So visit naturalnurse.com. Today, we're so happy to have Jessica Bell, who is talking to us about New Earth medicine and self-healing and energetic osteopathy. And thank you so much for being our guest today, Dr. Bell. I went on your website during the break, centers with an S for energetichealing.com. We'll have a live link to that. And I noticed that there are several Dr. Bells there. You and another Dr. Bell is actually both there.
Yes. Yeah. Our team right now consists of three healers. Dr. Charles Bell is an osteopathic physician, internal medicine trained, ICU trained, and he's now transitioning into an energetic osteopath as well. So he's down in Tennessee, and he has a clinic down there called Bell Wellness. And we're a team of two doctors, and I'll tell you about the third in a moment. Who've known, you know, that medicine has been really limited in its scope, as far as its return to wholeness and health and love, and that to exclude the energetics of healing is really to limit the healing that's available. So, Dr. Bell is not related to me at all. Actually, he's a spiritual brother, but not a biological brother.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's great. And he actually heard me speaking on a podcast about a year and a half ago, and he emailed me right away, because what I was speaking about, this topic in particular, you know, bringing the energetics and osteopathic, you know, medicine all together, bridging Eastern and Western modalities, putting it all together under one umbrella, which is really what Centers for Energetic Healing is all about. It's about, you know, bringing in the understanding that we are made of energy and that we have capacity to self-heal by engaging with our own energetic system, both physically and also emotionally. So the third person is my partner, actually, my partner in life and also my business partner. Her name is Claire Garner, and she's an intuitive emotional healer who understands that emotions are energies in the body that are getting stuck and gummed up. And so when I work inside of people's bodies from an osteopathic perspective, I actually can see, feel, and extract these energies. But what is getting them in there in the first place? It's our emotional, really immaturity. You know, so many of us grow up in our families that are just, we've all had a hard time learning how to feel and express our feelings. Our feelings are emotion. Our energy. So when we go through our lives and we stuff our feelings, medical doctors, for example, going through medical training, going through clinical practice, we have to literally learn how to survive and push our own basic needs, our own feelings, our own emotions. When big traumatic things happen, when patients die on us, for example, you know, when we're exhausted and working 80 hours a week, we literally learn how to dissociate from ourselves, abandon ourselves, neglect ourselves and our own self-care. And at some point in life, we burn out, because that's just, you know, no human form can sustain that. And so when I started to do my own healing work, my own energetic physical healing work, I started to get access to some emotions that started to bubble up. And then it was right around that time that I actually lost Jim Jealous. He died. And then a week later, Claire and I met, and she started to teach me about emotions as energy and how do we transmute the energy of these emotions that inevitably have to come out. So this is our platform. Centers for Energetic Healing and the School and New Earth Medicine is really all about really understanding that any past emotion that we didn't have the tools or the capacity or even the knowledge that we needed to feel these things, we store it in the body somewhere, and that creates, as time goes on, stress inside of the body and really, you know, gradual degeneration, degradation, and sometimes body-wide failure. So this whole process of healing is an inversion of everything that I was trained to do as a medical doctor, to intervene from the outside of the body is not the way to heal. It's actually about going down deep into the well of these emotional energies that are congesting us, that are getting stuck down there, and first finding them. That's my job, you know, to go into the body and start to, you know, connect the body back into its own central channel. That column of energy that runs through us is constantly pulsing new revitalized earth energies up through the body. And I teach people how to get into their bodies now. This process is something that I do every day, sometimes several times a day. And that was part of this gift for me of stepping into the 2020 year where I started treating people energetically. I also was shown my body actually started to make itself pretty obvious that I could feel my own energetic system as well. And that was how I learned how to start treating myself during a time when the access to healthcare was actually really limited. And so kind of going back full circle, I'm talking because there's so much to say here, but I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I was run over by a car when I was 4 and the injuries that I sustained, I was able to keep my body strong and able. But what I didn't say is I've actually worked with chronic physical body pain and also emotional pain. But since the time of that injury, I've had a lot of pain in my body until 2020. And that was when I started to learn about how to move my own body back into a state of wholeness. I started to learn how to treat myself. So the self-treatment is actually where I feel that this whole world is moving toward. Recognizing that we are energetic beings capable of self-healing is step one. And then learning how to actually do our own healing is step two and really important, especially right now, because there's so much going on outside. As we all know, there's so much going on this planet and the intensity is rising. The stress levels are rising out there. And so learning how to find peace and love and connection and healing within the body, this is what the time is asking for now. That's what the call is. The call is to go in and do the work. So Dr. Charles Bell and I are supporting the more physical, energetic side of healing, while Claire Garner is here to teach us how to connect into our emotions and feel them with love and in such a way that they can flow out from the depths of our bodies, because so many of us have no idea how to actually feel. Myself included, until I met her. So well, it's a pretty beautiful thing.
It is. And thank you so much for sharing all of that knowledge and your fabulous journey and how you have brought together things that are in the realm of energy, which of course is highly honored in traditional medical systems, such as traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine from India. They always integrate that energetic path along with it, but certainly Western medicine has sort of disrupted the entire flow of healing. While we know that it's wonderful if you're in a car accident or like you wind up under a car, that wasn't the time to just pray. It was the time for emergency medicine. But thank you so much for being our guest right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we're talking to Dr. Jessica Bell. You could find her at DrDoctorJessBell.com or centersforenergetichealing.com. So thank you so much again, Dr. Bell.
Oh, thank you, Ellen. What an honor to be on your show. I really appreciate the time.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again right here for The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We bring you The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z every Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m. We'd love if you join us live, but if you don't join us live, the shows are all archived, which is fabulous, from Progressive Radio Network. It's PRN.LIVE. And you can get to the archives there or also from our website, naturalnurse.com. So until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.